Bring greetings in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It's a privilege to be gathered together with saints this morning. I appreciate Gerald's thoughts and kind of echo some of those sentiments, feel some of that weakness. I pray that our time of meditating on the Word can bring restoration to our soul this morning. I know mine already has in this service. I have it's a little different approach this morning that I'd like to look at. If you want to open your Bible to Psalm 120. And it wasn't real long ago that Gerald mentioned these 15 psalms, this collection of psalms from 120 to 134. I would like to read all of these psalms this morning as a package. I'll have a fairly long introduction, then I'd like to read them, and at least part of them I'd like to read them all together. And if you'll notice, this is immediately following Psalm 119. The next 15 psalms in many of our Bibles, all on the heading, say a Song of Degrees. Or they might say a Psalm of Ascent. Those terms are used interchangeably. They're also known as the Psalm of Steps or the Pilgrim's Psalms. And I guess over the last weeks, my mind kept going back to these psalms. In fact, I believe I've read from these psalms a couple times here. I know I did at least once. I think maybe a couple times over the last couple weeks, and I guess my mind just kept going back to them I'd been working on putting this together for some time. So sometimes when we give a message, we take a verse or a thought and kind of drill down. But today we're going to kind of back up and take more of a bird's eye view, an overall view. And I think it's important as we look at this that we go through this whole collection. And that's why, time allows, we will go through these psalms. And I may come back and have some messages on some aspects of these. This collection of psalms, there's a lot of disagreement, there's a lot of theories of how they were used. One thing that it's fairly sure is that they were the psalms that were used as, let's call them the pilgrim psalms, and that was a name given them to him later. Thought I had a verse here I don't have written down. But in Deuteronomy 16:16, it says, three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of the unleavened bread, and of the feast of the weeks, and the feast of the tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. And on these three times they went, these psalms were used as the psalms of ascent. If you know, as they went into Jerusalem, they were going up. Or the songs of degrees, they were used at various points on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And later, and we'll try to note that as we go through the nature of the psalms, as it talks about the looking unto the hills or the mount, and you don't see that once you get in closer. there's a progression of the Psalms as we go through them, as they come into worship in the temple. And so the title I've given this is The Way to the Temple. Also, in the tone of these, you'll notice it goes from a place of, it starts out, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord and He heard me," in Psalm 120, till you get into Psalm 134. It's lifting up your hands in the very presence of the Lord. The general tone goes from inner distress to inner peace. And it shifts from man's plight to God's glory and strength in His presence. Over half of the Psalms are cheerful in their nature. Some of them are not. It talks about more of the distress, but they're all hopeful. And the focus is to put in the spirit of worship. And all have the focus toward Zion. I'm just going to go through some of the... There's some evidence of these things that are traditionally thought of how these psalms are used. And I'll probably even hazard to give my view of it a little bit, just maybe in fairness. Originally, it's believed that the Levites in the dedication of the temple sang these psalms, and this is at Solomon's temple in 959 BC. And there were 15 steps between the court of women and the court of Israel, and it was believed they sang those and ascending those steps by some. And alternately, some believe that this collection was not put together as these 15 psalms until Nehemiah built the wall. And after the wall was built, and they had the dedication meeting there. There is a possibility it could have been both. I think from the internal evidence, as I mentioned, some of the wording of the Psalms and the nature of human Hebrew poetry, it is quite likely that originally the Psalms were sung by the pilgrims as they came, or the Hebrews as they went to the temple. But it is quite possible, if you think of the span of 1,000 years from the time of Solomon to the time of Christ, it could be that all of these psalms, all of these traditions are true to some extent. It might have been used quite a few different ways. And also, then on the there's some on Herod's temple. There were 15 wide steps on the southern side that have since been excavated, and it is believed that at that time they were using those steps for this as part of their worship tradition. As they come, on each step they would read a psalm. I don't think all of that is so important, but I do think that as Christian people, as people that need God, as people that need to come to God, we can correlate with the attitude that's presented in these psalms, and our need for God, and our praise for God, and we see God's desire for us in them, and So I would, what I would like to do is these psalms were likely often read in unison. I would like to maybe do that in maybe somewhat in groups today. I would like to, just encourage us as we read these psalms that a tendency we have when reading in unison is to go about an octave lower and mumble. And I think it's respectful to the Word of God that as we read, that we do it that as clearly and with as proper expression as possible. To enhance that, I think it's best if we all together observe the commas and stay together. So what I'd like to do is go through these one at a time. And I'd like to do it in sections. So if we'd have the wing side over here first, and then the men, then the center ladies, and the girls on the side read through, and then the fifth psalm we'll read all together. And we'll try to kind of monitor the time. There may be some that we don't read the whole psalm, I'd like to kind of go through these. Before each one, I'll try not to take too much time, but I'd just like to give a little bit of an introduction to the thought in the psalm. But like to also try to read them with meaning that they can speak to our hearts this morning. This first one, as I said, it shows that inner need to go to the temple, to go to worship. And it says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord and He heard me. But especially note that the confession of the tongue here and how the tongue is a big problem to us. And he's pointing that out about the false tongue. And he says, talks about the sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper, these coals of fire to come. And in verse 7, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are of war. My words are of war. And it's a reflection on who I am. And then it goes to who God is in the next psalm. So if the ones on the wing would stand, we'll read this together. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, with coals of juniper. Woe is me, that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with them that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Thank you. Yeah, that sets the tone of our need. In the next psalm here speaks of God as our helper and our keeper. So let's, the next section could stand and we'll read that together. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Thank you. I think the beauty in those two psalms, if you think about it, that focus of my distress and where I am and what I am, and this the contrast of who the Lord is. And He is that helper and He is that keeper. And He has my interest in mind. And so the next one is a focus then. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a focus on the Zion we're going to. And if you notice the language of this, and this is part of what I was talking about, the internal evidence, it's looking at Jerusalem as something we're looking forward to. And as they're going to Mount Zion, it's not something that they've experienced yet, but it's something that says our feet shall stand within thy gates. It's something that's looking forward. So if the ladies would like to stand, we'll read this together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. You may be seated. Thank you. I think that is a beautiful picture of the New Testament church as well. I believe that's prophetic, looking forward to the peace that God desires for us. And the next psalm then is a plea for God's mercy. And it talks about there in verse 2, it says, behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of the masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hands of the mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until they have mercy upon us. And as we wait on our masters, so let us wait on God. It kind of took me back to that verse in Isaiah 40:31, and I'm not sure exactly how accurate this is, but it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I remember my grandpa, Steve said, I always used, told me multiple times, because people have the privilege of doing that when they get older. But he told me that, you know, when we're waiting on the Lord, that's not just sitting there doing nothing. That is like a waiter in a restaurant. They're serving the Lord. And I guess if you look at this aspect and the way it's brought in this verse, it kind of does give that dual meaning there. But it is, this passage speaks about a pleading for God's mercy. And as Jeremiah says, the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed. So let's stand in the ones on the east side. Read what, Psalm 123. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hands of the masters, And as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. Thank you. Okay, Psalm 124 speaks of God being on our side. Let's all read this one together. Psalm 124. If it had been the Lord who was on our side, how may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Thank you. That corresponds quite a bit to what Gerald read in Devotions. But God is on our side. Or maybe another way of putting it is we can have rest if we are on the Lord's side. And then the next psalm, and I look at this as it talks about Mount Zion, it talks about the trust in the Lord, about the strength coming from God, and I look at this as probably one that they would have been a psalm as they were coming into view of Mount Zion. They would have read this psalm. So again, we will, the ones on the west side want to stand, we'll read this psalm together. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto the crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Thank you. The next one talks about sowing in tears and reaping in joy. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Talks about that and has that in verse 3. I kind of see kind of like I expected, the clock is going fairly fast, except for the back one's 20 minutes off, so I have plenty of time. But I think maybe we'll go through this round, so each has another chance to read, then I might read the rest. So if the next section would like to stand and read this one. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth with weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Thank you. One thing I was going to mention earlier is that it's disagreed by scholars, but 4 to 7 of these psalms were written by David. The next one, some say was written, in fact, some Bibles say it was written by Solomon. Some say it was written for Solomon, with the implication that it was written by David as well. So I'm not sure which way that is, but that is. And then the others were collections that we're not sure who the author is. And this is except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, is the thought here. So would the ladies like to stand and we'll read this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Thank you. And then the next one speaks of the blessing of being in a house of the God-fearing, those that love God. And it's almost a continued thought of Psalm 127. So let's stand and we'll sing this one, or say this one. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine, by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around thy table. Behold, I'll help you start again, sorry. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall be blessed. Sign. For the days of thy life, may thou see the children's children and peace upon Israel. That's a beautiful picture of those that fear the Lord. Sorry, my voice kind of wasn't working for me right there. I just had to note that. And just the different comments of the neighbors, and as we went through the funeral last week. And they just couldn't understand how in this turmoil we could have this much peace. And I suppose there's aspects where maybe we didn't feel as much peace as what people could see. But I think the fact is, when we have God's blessing on us, and we're living out His peace and His plan, it's irresistible. Like Will was talking about this morning. Now the next one is the plea of the persecuted. Notice verse 4 says, the Lord is righteous. And that's kind of the focus of this. It's a little longer one. I'll read it. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which wither afore it groweth up. Wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. And then on to 130. My soul waiteth on the Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. An interesting aspect that comes through, if we go back to Psalm 120, verse 2, it says, deliver my soul, O Lord. It talks about calling unto the Lord in his distress. And here again, it says, out of the depths have I cried. And we see here in these Psalms a deeper turmoil for our own iniquity than what is brought on us by the oppression of others. And that comes through again in this psalm. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned off his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. And this psalm is showing the beauty of when we come to God in a childlike faith. It's not in our own wisdom. It's not with our heart haughty or our eyes lofty. We come before the Lord. The next psalm is 18 verses. It's the longest of these psalms. Lord, remember David. And this is more of a, we could say, a ballad. It's more of a psalm, probably not written by David, but added later as a reflection on the faith of David and trust in God as David did, and trust in the God of David. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the woods. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it, or the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I will ordain the lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon him shall his crown flourish. And I should have mentioned that last part there is written in first person of what the Lord would say. But the Lord, he chose Zion. And it's just beautiful, that picture and David's desire. We think back of when David was looking for a place for the ark, or to return the ark, and you see his heart and his desire to restore true worship in Israel. And then Psalm 133. This is a very familiar psalm, and I think it's very important, and this is part of the reason I wanted to take the scenic route to get here. Is this? It's often that we just break into Psalm 133 and say these verses so easily. But if you see, it's God's desire. It talks about the beauty of the brethren dwelling together in unity. And it's God's desire that as we all come to Him in true heart worship, that there is also true heart fellowship with the brethren. And it is not something that can be manufactured. It's not something that can be made up. This true heart of unity. It can only be brought about by coming into a true relationship with God. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. And for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for these brethren to dwell in unity. And if you know the it talks about the dew of Hermon, and there were seasons in the region around Mount Hermon, where it didn't rain, but the earth was watered with the dew. And it speaks of that sustenance that comes naturally in this condition. And finally, as we're coming in the last psalm, talks about coming into the sanctuary of the Lord. Let's read this last one all together yet. Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Thank you for your patience, your attention as we went through this. I know it maybe was a little hard to follow along my thoughts. I know as the further I got into this, the harder it was for me to follow along my thoughts, because it seemed to be so much and so deep that there's just no way that we can do it justice. But I guess the burden I would like us to sense as we go over these psalms, these songs, is that I get the beauty I just see in this is that to come to the temple of the Lord. And if you notice that focus as it shifts from my distress to who God is. And I believe that is the effect it has on every one of us. That we see God as the helper, as the keeper. We see His mercy and His strength, His faithfulness. And that our focus leaves ourselves and we see more clearly who God is. May the Lord bless you. Let's have a song.